Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 47, and the Bible verses are from the book of Matthew, chapter 16. The verses are 24 and 25, and they read, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will find it.'" That's Matthew 16, 24 and 25. I was thinking of a lot as I reread this and heard it, listened to it, things that I have learned over the years and how I can put it across in a way that it can be helpful for people who come behind me. As you read through the 90 Days of Encouragement, in a lot of ways is autobiographical for me, because I was writing notes to help people who were in a 12-step program that I was in. I was in a 12-step program for food. And at the time when I was in it, it was the best thing that I knew that was helpful to me. I had been caught in the addiction of overeating. And it didn't start as a catch. As I looked back later, I could see that it had started very early in my life that I was an overeater, although I did not struggle with the weight part of it until after puberty. But before puberty, even I had an eating disorder. It wasn't a normal type of an eating. But as I see now, God ordained everything in my life. He has a way or a standard of where things could be. And mankind can easily get off that standard. We saw it even in the book of Judges. And so sometimes, if a lot of people around you are off, you don't even get an indication that you are off. You're off the standards of God because you have a lot of feedback that tells you it's okay. You know, you're fine. And pretty much that's how I grew up in terms of the overeating. We all overate. We all were about, what I was saying earlier, merriment. That festive type of, you know, whatever we could eat, and indefinitely with the candy and the sugar, eating that and looking back and seeing that I overate in that. But like I said, it wasn't really a problem with me in my mind's eye. I had good teeth. I didn't even have the problem of dental problems that might have gotten my attention. What got my attention was being overweight. And I started seeing that when I was puberty in teenage years, and I could see that my clothes weren't fitting and I was feeling bad about the way I looked, and people were saying things about my weight. And I did the academic approach, which was usually my way of doing things. I went to the library and found books about dieting, and I dieted. I regulated my food, and always with the purpose that once I got the weight off, then I could just enjoy myself. I can go back to merriment. And again, all these things I didn't think through, but I look back, excuse me, and I can see that was what was going on in my mind. But What happened from that point is that I got into that yo-yo syndrome that you hear people speak about a lot, where you lose weight, and since your motive of losing weight is just to go back into errant eating, although you may not even see it as errant, you gain weight, and the weight that I gained was more usually than what I had lost. And then I would do like they do in the Judges. I would have remorse, and then I would buckle down and get on another diet and lose weight. Now, whenever I got on those diets, it took longer for me to lose that weight. And so that was that cycle. And I'm telling you, I tried so many things to take care of the weight. And one of my favorite ones was always to go to Weight Watchers. And that Weight Watchers was different than what it is now. It was like everybody was pretty much on the same plan. It wasn't, you know, what it seems now. I've never done the new Weight Watchers, but it seems like it's more like a, you know, cafeteria type thing that you could pick and choose and whatever. But I went on that and it usually worked. But then after a while, even that stopped working because I didn't have the willingness to keep going back. I was getting beaten up by the food by this point. I was getting discouraged very easily of the hardness of how it took to do that. So in 1987, when my family moved to New York City, is where I found this group of people that were like the old Weight Watchers, and that they had a food plan, and everybody followed that plan. And it made a kind of a camaraderie. And we focused around that plan and talking about that plan and talking about how it took the weight off, and it almost became like a false god in a way that combined with the fellowship of the people. But I didn't see it as that at all. I saw it as I was grateful that I was able to finally get out of that food and have friends and have enjoyable food. And I really thought that, yeah, this was what life was all about. I had no idea at that time that the eating had gotten to the point for me that it was upset, not only compulsive, because the food plan actually cut the compulsive, and it cut down on the obsession of food, but it didn't take it out completely, because it was very easy to be aided and abetted to being obsessed about the food plan food. You know, we had fellowship together, we talked, we swapped recipes, we whatever, and you know, we could talk and go to meetings and talk about it, talk about defending, you know, our food plan and whatever. And again, we would put a smattering of things in it that dealt with a power greater than ourselves, but there was no universality, if that's a word, of what that power was. And some of us went back to our ideas that we had when we were children, but even then, that was different. You know, we didn't have the Bible. Let me put it that way, we didn't. But I was able to get abstinent, and I got clarity. I got freedom away from that. And that is a lot of, you know, skill. It does take a lot of skills, and I have support in that skills of sticking to what I said I was going to do. And that actually helped me to grow into learning what integrity was about, you know, making a decision and sticking to it. And I was aided in that, I would say, like I said, with the group. It was a group of people. who helped me to do that. But the Bible tells me that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And I certainly experienced that because the Lord, who is Jesus Christ, my Savior, did not build that house. That house was not built by the Lord. And after a while, I could see it falling apart at the edges. And one of the big ones was what I call now trading addictions, where I wasn't eating no matter what, but I was doing all sorts of other things that I wanted to do. I wasn't eating. And I, like I said, I was aided and abetted in that people helped me, that it was okay to do that. And we could even have a lot of merriment talking about these things and laughing about them and whatever, because we were abstinent in doing that. And I would say about 4.5 years into doing that, I was having difficulty. And part of it, not with the food, part of the difficulty was that I did have children. And I could see that I was, as a parent, I had to have some better tools than to tell people, you know, all you have to do is the way you measure your food without exception, no matter what. That was important for me, but that was not the universal. It wasn't even the solution for me. It was a solution to not be binging my brains out, but it wasn't the solution to life. The solution to life was that relationship with the Lord. And I became crying out because I was afraid of going back into food. I knew enough about the food that if I went back into that food, it was like, woe is me. Not only that, I had been around my 4.5 years, like I said, and I had seen people. You know, one moment they would come to the meetings, and I mean, they would have some things in place, but they would get into the food, and it was like a different person. They talked different. They acted different. They were like, whoa, I thought to myself, what a contrast. And that's why I can easily know it's drunkenness. It's drunkenness that happens when we're in the food. And the sad thing about the drunkenness is that if the person, the drunk person, does not even see it all the time, but the people on the outside and the people that are around them, yes, they see that drunkenness. And it's a hard thing to experience. To see your friends drunk and they don't even necessarily know it. So I went looking for the spiritual, quote unquote, solution. But God saw my heart because I was involved in a church even then. But again, it was not Bible teaching, Bible believing church, which if you're in the sound of my voice now, you need that. You need to know who your Savior is. His name is Jesus Christ. He died for you. If you go and read in the Bible, study the Bible, both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant requires blood. We have to have blood. In the Old Covenant, they had the lambs and other animals that they would sacrifice. In the New Covenant, we have one who sacrificed his life. That's Jesus. And we must accept his blood sacrifice or we continue to be lost. We don't, you know, we're lost. And when we accept his blood sacrifice, we come behind him, we follow him, we learn more and more about him. And that's why we stay in the word of God. We stay in his word. And so we come after him. And we deny ourselves, meaning that our little agenda, our little standards, all of those things, we have to let it go. And we take up his cross and we follow him. We follow him. And that, you know, we're going to have pushback whenever we follow our Savior. And we need to know that. And if we think that we can straddle the fence, have the best of both lives, we are sadly mistaken. One of the things that I learn about the Lord from His Word is that He is a jealous God, not jealous in the human sense, but He is exclusive because He loves me. And He does not want to see me trying to run after something that is not truth. If it's not truth, it's going to kill me eventually. And so He wants me to know truth and to live truth and to walk in His way. And that's why my eating has to be all tied into this following behind Jesus. I want to have God honoring eating. I want to have disciplined eating. And I want to do it so that I can be an excellent worker for Him. I want to serve Him well. And the reason I want to serve Him is because of what He has done for me. You know, you've heard me say this again and again. I have not known a life better than the one that I have today because of Jesus Christ. And I did not have a horrible life. You know, I grew up with two parents who loved me. They were, you know, imperfect in their ways, but they provided for us. I was never out on the street. I was encouraged to have education despite, you know, pushback not to do it because my race and gender, or, you know, I was a woman and I was Black, but I was always encouraged to be educated and to do whatever it took, and which I did. I was a good student, had good jobs, even, you know, had good careers before I found the Lord and before He found me. But I'm telling you, I feel a lot like Paul. Boy, I can tell you a lot of wins that I had before I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But it is all rubbish. Not rubbish in the sense that I'm not grateful that God has given me beautiful gifts. But the greatest gift there is this relationship with Jesus Christ. I just am so grateful for that. And so I'm willing to do the work to serve Him. I'm not complaining. You know, I'm not going to be complaining about the work that it takes to do what needs to be done. I'm not complaining about weighing and measuring without exception, no matter what. Nope, not complaining. You know, not complaining about people who come behind me and they're trying to learn how to surrender their life to the Lord. Nope, not complaining. Not complaining about, you know, my children as they are growing up, or my grandchildren, you know, and I'm saying not complaining. Not that I'm not tempted, and not that I don't fall into that temptation, but by the grace of God, He wakes me up. The Bible says they come to their senses, come to their senses, and He does that. And that's why I want to stay in His Word. His Word actually helps me to come to my senses quicker. So I don't have to go back into, I don't want to go back into the food, and I don't want to go back into the crazies of following after some false god, whatever that false god is, not doing that today. But let me pray. Father, I just thank You. You are an amazing God to love me so much and to just chase after me. Even while I was still a sinner, You died for me. And as many people showed me You, I pray to do that as well in this very day. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray. Amen.